You just have to pray to the Lord things turn out well. Now, tonight, you know, tonight we got this, we're doing this series called Exposed, and tonight, you know, we do this every year, or sometime in the year, usually around February or summertime, we talk about dating, love, sex, and, you know, my wife made everybody say those words in church, so I'm sorry if you feel icky now, but that you just got to get on with it, man. Live life. Now, I don't know what you've heard about this topic, especially when it comes to church. Maybe what your ideas, your presuppositions are. But I have a tendency to think that my personal view on the subject may be different than what your expectation is. Maybe, and I think this is, I think. Chances are, especially if you haven't been around this church for a little while, chances are that your idea of what the Bible says about this subject is not what you think it is. It's actually very different than what you probably think it is. You see, that's why we're talking about this series called Exposed, because, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, if you guys have it, go put it up there. But in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 13, it has a tendency to say this. It says, their evil intentions were exposed when the light shines on them. Do you have the next verse here? Go to me. It says this. But, yo, make me turn there. All right. Make me do the hard lifting here, flipping pages. Don't worry. Know what I'm talking about here, don't worry. Ephesians 5:13, it says, but things that are exposed are made manifest in light, for whatever makes manifest. It says, therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Verse 15 says, see then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now it says this, things are exposed in the light. See, here's why we're talking about this, is because the truth on the subject is buried. It's buried. It's in the dark. The truth on dating and relationships, sex, and what's okay and not okay, and what's appropriate and not appropriate, when is the right time and not the right. See, it's buried underneath opinions and ideas. It's buried underneath statistics and all this kind of stuff. See, because especially today, here's what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to give you statistics. I'm not going to show you pictures. I'm not going to tell you all these different things, because see, I can do that, but I think there's a bigger issue at hand. And the truth gets buried underneath these things. Yeah, I mean, some of you guys in this place, you might even know, you might even be here just because your parents said, now listen, little Jimmy, you need to go to church tonight because they're going to talk to you about something and you need to listen and get your act together and stuff like that. Because it happens, you know, thinking, oh, mama making me come to church because they're talking about sex. You know, and it happens. I understand. But here's what we need to do. We need to be real and honest about it, because this is one of those things that everybody's stuck in. You know, the place we live in, this world we live in, has a tendency to worship this word. This world has a tendency to worship, to literally make a god out of relationships and sex and dating and the whole shebang. I mean, that's all the people talk about now in these days, whether it's rights for these and rights for that, and you just turn on the radio and you got the songs. I mean, listen, 9 out of 10 songs will talk to you about the breakup, how guys hate girls, or you revenge on this guy for doing this. It's love in this club or that club, while you're moving your pelvis to this music or that music, wearing totally unflattering shorts and strange foam fingers. It's just a mess. The whole thing is just one nasty, godforsaken mess. And it's nothing but a distraction from the way things ought to be. Because the truth is, there's heartbreak and hurt. There's deception and lies. And sometimes we're stuck navigating this thing the best we know how. Just like in the skit, you know, brother likes the girl. Girl doesn't like the brother. So what is he? He feels like he has to put a show on to be able to get his lady. You see, dating is not a bad thing. And I'm not here to tell you shouldn't date. I'm not here to tell you sex is a bad thing. I'm not even here to tell you that I'm not even here to, like I said, tell you statistics and things like that, although I will But today I'm not going to go there. Because there's a truth and a deeper matter. You see, I believe some of these things are symptoms of a bigger cause. You see, something happens when you get to the root of the issue. When you chase relationships, you have a deeper problem than how many boyfriends and girlfriends you have. When you're confused as to your gender identity or whether you date this kind of person, that person, you know, when there's confusion, there's a deeper issue at hand that needs to be addressed. And if we address the surface, we'll never get to the underlying cause. You see, I've learned something having children, and it's when a kid gets a runny nose. The problem isn't the runny nose. The problem is the disease inside of the body that's causing the runny nose. And I can give my kid medicine to get rid of the runny nose, but the problem didn't go away. I'm just hiding it. So today, starting right now, with this sex talk or truth talk or dating talk or love talk, whatever we're going to call this, today I'm not going to deal with symptoms as much as I'm going to deal with root causes. Because you see, a healthy heart will give healthy relationships. But a sick heart will seek all the wrong. If you found yourself in more than one bad relationship, then maybe the problem isn't your relationships. Maybe the problem is your heart. If you've woken up and wondered what the heck happened last night, then the problem isn't what happened last night. It's what happened in your heart to get you there. If the problem is what you can't stop looking at on your phone, the problem is not necessarily what you're looking at on your phone, but it's what hunger are you trying to feed that will not go away with that type of meal. Tonight, let's talk about your heart. Let's expose the truth, and let's uncover all the garbage that we've been hiding it under. So tonight, can we get into this? You see, it says their intentions were evil. And when you shine the light on it, the truth is made known. Because you might be the good church kid that's trying your best not to make mistakes. Maybe you have a tendency to think, you know, sex is special and I'm just waiting for the right person to come along, somebody that I truly love. Maybe you're just thinking, you know, it's no big deal as long as you're safe about it. Maybe you're thinking, Pastor Richard, this is stupid. I don't want to know. Maybe you're thinking, I know what's right. I just don't know if I can do it. Because that's an old book and this is a new age. Look, I'll tell you this. When this book was written, things were crazier than they are now. Like, really crazy. I mean, things were legal back then that you wouldn't even allow to be legal today. But I digress. Maybe you're thinking, Pastor Richard, I really don't want to be here. I've been taken advantage. I've been robbed. I've been stolen. I've been hurt. I've been damaged. I'm damaged goods, Pastor Richard. Well, hang tight. Because God's got something for you. You know, the Bible tells me, and you know, you've heard this. You don't even have to go to church to know this is a Bible verse. But the Bible says the truth, if you know it, it'll set you free. So whatever you've got stuck, and you find out the truth, then you'll find yourself free from guilt, shame, free from condemnation. You'll find yourself free from fear that this subject can do. Because this is one of the biggest challenges you'll ever face in your life, is relationships. Right? Is the game of love. Who, when, how, where? Right? And people grow up their whole life saying things like, I'm never going to get married because I've seen what happens. They say, you know what? I just don't want to be alone. You know, we say things like this. So today, let's make sure our intentions aren't evil. Let's ask God to shine light on our hearts so we could do this thing right. Because I don't want heartbreak, and I don't think you do either. And if we do things God's way, well, then we can avoid a lot of hurt that we don't need to get ourselves into. You see, that's the difference between doing things God's way and your way. I have this, I mean, now, give me a minute. I have a cheesy illustration for you. But doing things God's way is good. My wife is a germ freak. I love her, but I think she has a problem. I know that. I got sick and she made me sleep in the bed upside down so I didn't cough on her or the kids. And I'm saying this now because she can't kill me. So at home, if you don't see me next week, you know what happened. Call the cops, tell them to look for the body. It's in the backyard. So if you were to ask her, you would tell her Lysol is a very good thing. Kills 99.9% of germs. It kills Antibacterial Calicolitis, Burkholderia spicea, Corynebacterium diphtheria. It kills Enterococcus faecalis. That word means poop. I know that. Faecalis, that word means poop. That's disgusting. Kills poop germs. Neisseria elongata. That seems like a long germ. Okay. So all these different things. And so if you were to spray it on bathroom surfaces, bed frames, youth stages. If you come up for prayer, this is the part you want to go to right here. It's clean. I mean, it works miracles. Kills cold and flu viruses. Eliminate odors. You need to use this in my car. And the scent is original. But if you look further down, it'll tell you directions for use to disinfect, rinsing toys, sanitizing, deodorizing, precautionary statements, hazardous to humans and domestic animals. Wild animals, okay. Domestic animals, dangerous. Causes moderate eye irritation. Do not spray on eyes, skin, or clothing. Wash thoroughly with soap and water after handling, before eating, drinking, chewing gum, using tobacco. You shouldn't do that anyway. Or using the toilet. Feel free to do that one. First aid, contact number. Use even a special way to dispose of this, although you know you're just going to throw it in the trash anyway. And it says that there's a right way and a wrong way to use it. Spraying this on a stage is a lot different than spraying in your eyeball. Duh. So can be said about sex. Relationships. Guys, girls, the whole thing. You do it right, it's pure. It cleans. A good relationship will actually make your life better. You know, studies that tell you that a happily married couple will live longer than a single man or woman. It's true. A good marriage is good for your life. Healthy, physically. It'll keep you pure. But using the wrong way, it causes pain and drives people away. Make something that was good, bad. Something that's delightful, sad. Make something scrumptious, not scrumptious. You want to keep sex scrumptious. If I could say that, you don't want it to be tainted, yucky, or dirty, because God designed sex, and it was never meant to be dirty. It was meant to be these wonderful Nilla wafers before I destroyed them. I don't even know who these were. Sorry, this is yours. But that's how it goes. So let's get into this. Like I said, root causes, these things. And where God shines light, there's healing. So let's expose a couple things. Let's expose the things that people do, that you do. Because everything that's done has an effect. We were just talking about today with some of the pastors, and you know, and we were talking, and you know, there's a saying that no man is an island. Everything you do affects somebody else. And everything you do has an effect on other people's lives. So the way you live your life, the way you treat women, the way you treat men, the way you look at girls or guys, or you look, the way that you deal with this subject has an effect on people. And the problem with this is that it's so emotional. It's so easy to get caught up in them blue eyes. So easy to get caught up in that long, curly hair, in the way she crinkles her nose when she laughs. The way he looks at you across the room and says, "Hey, girl." And you know what I mean? The problem with this is it's so easy to get caught up. And before you know it, you're doing things you didn't expect yourself. You're going places you didn't expect. You're saying things you didn't expect. I still remember the time one of my brother, he was so tired one day with this girlfriend. He had been dating her for years, and he was so tired. He was getting ready to get off the phone with her, and she said, "All right, I love you." And he said, "All right, I love you." Hung up the phone, and all of a sudden, his eyes went. He called her back up and said, "Hey, I'm really tired. I didn't mean to say I love you. I didn't mean that. It was years ago. My brother's stupid. I know. I love you. Robert, if you're listening, praying for you, mijo." But he said that because he got caught up in it. He caught himself. Although I don't think he won any points. He's not dating her anymore. But relationship, we get caught up. I love this I love this verse. And you may think this has nothing to do with dating, Pastor Richard. No, hear me out. Hear me out. Proverbs 26, verse 17. These are two of my favorite verses in the Bible because they're awesome. Proverbs 26, it says this. It says, "Interfering in someone else's argument is as foolish as yanking at a dog's ears." Imagine a snarling pit bull. Now imagine you're holding its ears. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you fast enough? Because I'll tell you, holding a dog's ears, he's not happy. And the next verse says this. It says, it's just as damaging as a madman shooting a deadly weapon. Next verse. It's someone who lies to a friend and then says, "I was only joking." The New King James says, it's the same as throwing fire on somebody's house and saying, "Just kidding." See, people who do stuff like this are, number one, stupid. And number two is they don't think of the repercussions. They didn't think it through. How'd you get stuck at this? "I don't know. It just happened. And now there's a dog in my face." You see, this is what happens with emotions and relationships. I'm not saying emotions are bad because, you know, look, man, everybody needs butterflies in their stomach. My wife still does that to me. I mean, sometimes she's like, "What are you looking at?" I said, "I'm just looking at you, baby." She literally, she's like, "Stop looking at me." I'm like, "No. I like you too much." Because I really do think she's beautiful. I'm not just saying that because she's here. Although, I'm sure that doesn't hurt. But we don't think these things through. And we kind of find ourselves stuck in a situation that we didn't plan to be in. Like someone who didn't think through messing with their friends. Like someone who didn't think through grabbing a dog by its ears. And we don't realize what our relationships are doing to each other. Let me get a random girl here. You in the back. Yes, with the earrings. Yes, you. Get up here. You. Yes, you. Get up here. Okay, let's say, okay, we have a girl here. Thank you. Please stand right here, Miss Girl. Erica, is it? I believe it is. Okay, Erica, stand right here. Now, let's begin to define some relationships in our life. She goes to church. Jesus, I need a Jesus. Where's Jesus at? Do I have a Jesus? Okay, yes. Jesus the drummer. Yes, thank you. Come here, Jesus the drummer. Jesus, please stand here, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Looking good. That's all right. You got the mustache. You're good. Okay, so work it. Okay, now, of course, what would a girl be without her family? I need some family members. Who is, okay, in the back? Yeah, if you look like a family member, you look like a family member. Yeah, come on up here. Okay. And then, yes, you, sir, you look like a family member. Okay. Family member. Okay. So here, family, we stand here. Stand right here next to this setup here. Now, of course, what would a girl be without her friends? I need a couple friends here. Thank you, friend. Thank you, friend. Are you a friend or no? Yeah, sir, you look like a friend. Friend, come up here. Okay. Yeah, my three friends, stand right here. Stand right here. Now this seems simple enough, right? Because these are all different relationships, and they all hold different places in their life, right? So, Miss Erica, you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Bam! Closest relationship right here. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Now, but of course, you also have a relationship with your family because you see them on a regular basis. They bug you. They get under the nerves. They pay the bills. Make sure there's Cheerios in the cupboard. You have your family here. A very important relationship because that's, you're going to be, you have to spend Thanksgiving with them for the rest of your life, for goodness sakes, you know. And they're important, although not as, I would say, important as your relationship with the Lord, because if it ain't good with Jesus, it just ain't good. So, but, and then further on, too, you have your friends, your homies, your people, your posse, your crew. The population. But then, the boy walks in. Follow me, boy. Man, I have premarital guidances with these guys, so I'm going to have a conversation, I'm sure, later on. All right. So the boy walks in. Now, the problem is this, is when you begin to put relationships out of order, jacks everything up. Especially depending on what time of life you're at. Because depending on the time of life you're at depends on how important a relationship ought to be. You see, here's what happens oftentimes is the boy or the girl comes along, and all of a sudden, the level of relationship begins to get a little more important than others. Bypasses the friends. Stop, hold on, wait a minute. And all of a sudden, you find him beginning to come in between oftentimes. Why don't you like my boyfriend? I don't like him because he's a punk. You see the way he looks at me? I saw him looking at this other girl. But he loves me. But then all of a sudden there's a tension. Now the problem is this, is you stay there. Is as you being you, what you need to do is you need to make sure you keep the right relationship in the right place. Because when you begin to distance yourself from important relationships, all of a sudden you lose your ability to keep from getting caught up. You see, the only thing that's going to keep you from getting caught up in a relationship is the outside voices, because it's too close for you to tell if it's crazy yet. You see, what happens is sometimes maybe we need to listen to our friends when they say, I don't know about him. She's getting crazy. She won't let you hang with the guys no more. You know, and all of a sudden, when you begin to the voices in your life, you begin to separate the important voices from this new voice. You begin to lose the ability to see things as they really are. And all you see is magic fairy dust and unicorns and rainbows because you love him. And all of a sudden, the boy becomes more relationally important than even family sometimes. You find yourself spending more time with him or her than you do with your family. All of a sudden, Mom, I can't believe you won't let me see him. I hate you. Slamming doors, punching holes in walls, saying things that you ought not to say because 30 years ago you got yourself slapped. Maybe you did get yourself slapped. But all of a sudden you begin to find this relationship that is not really as important as you think it is begin to cut you off from the important voices of your family and your friends. See, they see things from an outside point of view that you can't. That you need. That's called accountability. That's a part of being Christian. And the only thing keeping you from going bat crazy is Jesus. The problem is this. Oftentimes, Jesus isn't this close to us. He's a couple pieces down the line. No, you're cool. You're just there, Jesus. The problem is this. Oftentimes, we're not very good at listening to this voice. So sometimes by the time it gets here, we're already up a creek with no paddle. The problem is when the relationship. Hey, look, you chose him. All right. This is your fault. All right. This is your problem to handle now. The problem is all of a sudden now you live in a world that was only populated by two people. And it was never meant to be this way. And now you guys are the only one that determines right and wrong. And all of a sudden, I mean, and that sounds nice and lovely and romantic, but you need people in your life to call you on the carpet and say, look, you're being dumb. Why are you doing that? You're hurting people around you. And all of a sudden, the effects, what happens is this relationship dictates this relationship with Jesus. All of a sudden, this relationship dictates this relationship with family. And you're getting in fights with your family because of that. And now all of a sudden the friends that you thought you have, you know, they don't hang with you no more because you don't want to be around them because it's just us two and you're just looking at each other, blowing kissy faces, eating the pizza bread at both ends. Yeah, I know, it's kind of weird. I don't know if people do pizza bread anymore. But anyway, but that's what happens. Now the only time this relationship is meant, Jesus, get back over here. It's never meant to be closer than this, even in a marriage. But the only time this relationship is meant to be this close is when you're actually getting married. The Bible says that you're supposed to leave your mother and father to be joined to the one that you love. Yeah, that's kind of cool. And that's the only time. And if you're not looking for marriage, then the relationship is never meant to be this close. Because then you begin to cut out the important voices in your life. Because this relationship is more important than these relationships. You need that. Thank you, guys. Go grab a seat. Let's give a big round of applause. Big round of applause. See, you need people to speak into your life. And there is an action that happens. See, and when a relationship becomes too intense, what happens is it becomes unhealthy. And your relationship becomes the one you worship. Your whole life revolves around it. And I've seen it happen one too many times. So you've got to see what it is that you're doing. Are you caught up? Or are you in the threat of being caught up? And it even doesn't really have anything to do or little to do with how physical you are with a person. It has to do whether it's an unhealthy relationship. Because that picture could be anything. It could be your friends. It could be an action activity. It could just be, a regular friend that begins to trump the relationships that you have around you. God's not meant you to do these things alone. And I know it bugs. I know it gets on your nerves, people getting up in your business, but you need people to get in your business. I mean, my wife and I, we have people that speak into our lives all the time, and we're married. And then lastly, here's this, these two things. You have to expose the effect of your actions, the things that you do, and expose your motives. Why you do what you do. You see, there's two motives that people have. And one of them is lust and one of them is love. And they're two very different things. Lust says this. Lust says that I need it now. I want it now. I got to have it. Lust says, what can I get out of this? Lust is a drive and a desire to have something that does not belong to you. That is lust. And this is the world we live in. Because it's all about me and what can I get out of it. And did you see? Oh, I saw. Did you hear? Oh, I heard. And love is about giving. It always seeks the best for the others. You know, there's a story in 2 Samuel. I won't belabor it. I just want to share it with you. But there's a story about two people. You can read it in 2 Samuel 13. It's actually a really sad story about a woman named Tamar and a man named Amnon. The Bible says that Amnon, he was physically hurting. And I don't know what that means. Because she was so beautiful. He wanted her so bad. It's all he could think about. He couldn't sleep. All he could think about was how much he wanted to be with this girl. And he was sharing with his friend. He said, man, just like this kid, he's like sharing with his friend. Hey, man, I saw this girl. I got to get with her. I got to, you know, and we got to, and then we're going to, you know. And he's like, I got a plan. Oh, you got a plan. I got a plan. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to fake it. Fake what? Fake being sick. She's going to come and she's going to help you out. And then when she comes to help you out, you guys will be all alone and you make a move. So he did it. And he made his move. In 2 Samuel. The only problem is that she was still saying no. Because he needed, because he was lusting, he wanted what didn't belong to him, he decided to take it. And he raped her. The Bible tells us right after he raped her, he looked at this woman he said he couldn't live without. The Bible says he hated her. As soon as he got what he thought he wanted, his lust was fulfilled, he hated her. And he kicked her out. What animal does that? But he did it. You see, that's what lust is. Lust feels good, and then it feels bad. As soon as you give in to it, shame, guilt, regret, emptiness. It's like drugs. The high comes, and it's awesome, and then all of a sudden the high goes away. And then if you keep it up, then the high needs more for you to get as high as you used to be. And then the down is worse, and the high is less, and that's lust. Give it to me now. But you see, love is completely different. I take you to a nice, tired old verse that we need to remember. And in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, this is the standard. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love doesn't envy and it doesn't parade itself. Not puffed up, it doesn't behave rudely and doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked and it does no evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. But it rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. You see, love has nothing to do with now. Love has everything to do with giving. You see, lust is a thief, while love is a giver. It's a provider. See, this man named Amnon, he wanted it and needed it now. Instead of waiting building a relationship, proving himself. He took it and he became a thief. And when our motives are for now and I don't want the best, when the motive says, I don't care what you want, I want what I want. And when the motive says, look, if you love me, then all of a sudden your motive is not love, it's lust. Love is able to wait. Love will wait a million years for that which is right. And that's what we need to look for. See, and when you do things in love, there's no letdown. When you do things in love, there's no regret. When you do things in love, there's no fear. See, this is why God says you got to do it his way. Because, you know, if people did things their way, all of a sudden they look at that little long stick with the line on it and say, oh my God, it's positive. In a marriage relationship, you look at the stick, and it's positive, you're like, oh my God, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to worry. In my life, I don't have to go in and get tested for anything. Because my wife and I are faithful to each other. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to, because I love my wife, she doesn't have to worry about me. There's protection in it. Because that's what love is. Love creates safety. Lust creates anxiety and fear. I don't know if you've ever sat on the curb outside a house with your boyfriend or girlfriend having the conversation. Have you had it yet? How late are you? You see, that's a conversation lust will bring you. Love instead will create safety and blessing inside that. You see, love gives and lust takes. If you feel used, then that's not love. If you feel abused, then that's not love. You need to cut it off, get rid of it, and wait for love. You see, those are the root things here. You've got to think these through. And what are you doing? If it's got to be hidden, then you shouldn't be doing it all. And you've got to look at the motives. Am I looking for the short term or the long term? Am I looking for lust, or am I looking for love? And if you can answer those things, and you'll save yourself a lot of pain and heartbreak. Look, if you guys got anything out of God today, let's give him praise.